Hello and welcome to Under the Microscope, KBAA's weekly look at stories in health, science, and technology. I'm Kyle Diaz. Rural America is losing its grocery stores. Many parts of the United States and large swaths of rural Missouri are now being classified as food deserts, areas where residents lack access to grocery stores and affordable food. But as Harvest Public Media's Sylvia Maria Gross reports, some small towns are finding creative ways to deal with the problem.
Last December, the only grocery store in Onega burned down. Onega is a town of about 700 in northeast Kansas, surrounded by cattle ranches, corn, and wheat farms. But suddenly, there was no place to buy groceries for 25 miles in any direction.
You're baking, you know, or fixing something, you know, and you need some. Well, you can't just run down the store and get it.
Althea Sender is 86 years old. She lives alone and doesn't drive long distances. Today, Sender sits on a van sent by Pottawatomie County to take Onega's elderly and disabled a half hour away to Raise Apple Mart in St. Mary's. She and her fellow Onegan, 81-year-old Althea Fordham, yes, two Altheas, they've been taking the van regularly since the local store closed. Fordham says she does most of her shopping in one monthly trip, but produce is tricky.
Oh, especially fresh fruits and vegetables. That's the hard thing to get a hold of and keep on hand.
Onega's become what's called a rural food desert, where residents live more than 10 miles away from anywhere that sells groceries. The USDA says at least 2 million other rural Americans are just like them. Those who can mostly drive the long distances to shop. But the impact goes beyond access to fresh food. Onega's grocery store was the anchor of the town's business district. Dan Peters runs the Onega branch of Morrill & Janes Bank. He says the local pharmacy and hardware store are among those struggling now that the grocery store is gone.
People now, I have to drive to get my groceries. You know, I need to pick up a screwdriver, a bag of nails, whatever it is. So instead of coming to the local hardware store, I'll just stop at Home Depot or some hardware store out of town while I'm there.
Town officials recognize the danger. And when the owners of the previous grocery store decided not to rebuild, Onega began aggressively courting other operators. There weren't any takers until Pam Budenbender came along.
I had always said it was my retirement plan. I was going to go into the grocery business.
Budenbender and her husband own businesses in Kansas City, but they spend their weekends on a farm outside of Onega. Budenbender hadn't planned on opening a store so soon.
It's very expensive to undertake from the ground up. If it had not been for Morrill & Janes Bank and their support and them helping me negotiate the deal with the city, I don't know that I would have wanted to take on the entire project.
Banker Dan Peters and county officials helped Budenbender put together a package of low-interest rural development loans, but it wasn't enough to cover costs, so the Onega City Council decided to do something unusual. They kicked in $375,000 towards the new building. Mayor Gary Holthaus says it's an investment in the future.
I feel you need to do those things in rural communities if you want to survive. You just can't ignore the issue and say, oh, it'll be all right. Well, it won't be.
That realization is coming to many towns in rural America. In the last 3 years, Kansas alone has lost nearly 90 small-town grocery stores. But like Onega, at least a dozen towns have come up with creative ways to finance replacements. Some have opened them as nonprofits. In others, residents buy shares in the stores. There are a few places where high school students are taking charge. David Proctor runs the Rural Grocery Initiative at Kansas State University.
More and more in rural parts of the state and rural parts of the country, we will find a partnership between public and private dollars that go into establish and sustain these grocery stores.
The new 6,000-square-foot Onega Country Market is set to open December 1st. To introduce the new store to the community, Budenbender plans to raffle off free hams and ice cream during the opening weekend. Businesses in town are counting on the grocery store to bring old customers back and maybe even draw in some new ones from the rest of the region. In Onega, Kansas, I'm Sylvia Maria Gross for Harvest Public Media.
I'm Kyle Diaz, and you're listening to Under the Microscope. Nancy Sutley is President Obama's principal environmental advisor and the chair of the White House Council on Environmental Quality. She was recently in St. Louis to speak with high school students and utility regulators, and she talked to St. Louis Public Radio's Veronique LaCapra about what the Obama administration is doing to address some of the environmental problems facing Missouri and the greater Midwest.
Missouri is heavily reliant on coal for our electricity production. I think about 80% of our power comes from coal. What is the administration doing to either push or incentivize states like Missouri to move away from coal and towards renewables?
Well, I think part of what we're doing is really focusing on the technology and on incentives to ensure that the costs come down. So, for example, the Department of Energy has been working on something they call the Sunshot Initiative, which the goal is to get solar energy basically at a parity with fossil fuel-fired power plants to produce electricity. And we see states around the country investing in solar and wind and geothermal and other sorts of renewable technologies. And some of the tax incentives and tax credits are helping to bring the costs down. And generally, you know, we think diversifying energy sources is a good thing and diversifying our portfolio.
One other issue I'd like to touch on is industrial pollution, which is a big problem in the St. Louis area and across our region. Missouri has dozens of Superfund sites, some of them right here in the St. Louis area. Across the river in Illinois, there's a lot of communities that are also dealing with high levels of environmental contamination from either current or former industrial sites. The cleanup of many of these sites just seems to be dragging on, in some cases for decades, with very little progress. What is the Obama administration doing to strengthen enforcement of industrial pollution and clean up existing contamination?
Well, we know this is an important issue around the country, dealing with legacy, in some cases, of very toxic pollution, and trying to do things to speed the cleanup, because it is true that in some cases it has taken decades to get sites identified and cleaned up. We were able, through the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, to put some additional dollars into the Superfund program specifically for cleanups. And we have proposed in our budget every year to reinstate the Superfund fee, which stopped being collected a few years ago.
What is that?
It's basically a polluter pays fee that helps to fund cleanups. The other thing I'd mention, just to go back to energy for a second, is that in some cases, these brownfields, these formerly contaminated former industrial sites, make great sites for renewable energy. So we were in Sacramento, California a few weeks ago, and at an old Army depot, one of the largest solar installations in Northern California, on this formerly contaminated site. It's been cleaned up and now being put back to productive use. So we think that's a good model for places around the country. And the point is to get the pollution away from people, but also to try to put some of these places back to productive economic use.
That's Under the Microscope. I'm Kyle Diaz. Thanks for listening. You can find these stories and many more on KBIA.org.